Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio in our Build Your Hybrid Cloud series. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a senior technical evangelist for Azure here in the U.S. at Microsoft. And back with us, we have again today our good friend Andy Serwich. Hey, Andy, how's it going?
Good, good. How's it going, Keith?
Great, great. Well, Andy, what have you been up to the last couple of weeks?
Well, last week was Ignite for me, so That was a great conference. A lot going on there. I think I averaged about 4 hours sleep a night last week while I was there. So lots of great announcements, a lot of good stuff kind of centered around Azure and hybrid cloud and some of the on-premise Hyper-V and system center type stuff.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of great stuff for building hybrid clouds and managing and monitoring them. In fact, the last couple of weeks have been really hectic because a couple of weeks ago was our Build 2015 conference for our developers that are writing and deploying apps for the hybrid cloud. And then last week was our, as you mentioned, our Ignite conference in Chicago for IT professionals that are managing and monitoring those solutions in the hybrid cloud and architecting the overall infrastructure that they run within. So Andy, based on what you saw announced at Ignite last week, what were some of the top key takeaways in regards to hybrid cloud that you were really impressed by?
I think one of the big ones was, and it kind of came as a surprise, was I know last year at TechEd 2014, the message was Azure, 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 more Azure, you know? And now it kind of seems like they've brought it the other way. They've kind of taken all of the knowledge that they gained working when building Azure, and they've now packaged it up to sit on top of on-premise deployments. And I mean, we had that with the Azure pack, right? But really that was kind of a subset of all the functions that Azure provides. But now they announced the Azure Stack last week, which is a more holistic offering around putting Azure in your data center, which I thought was very, very interesting. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And the promise of a much more streamlined implementation process as well with Azure Stack than we had before with Azure Pack. But yeah, I agree. I think the consistency of the true hybrid cloud, having the services that are, whether they're infrastructure services, IaaS services, or PaaS services, having those available at your disposal to leverage in your own private cloud in an on-premises data center environment, in a hosted location through one of our private cloud, Microsoft private cloud hosting providers, or through the Azure public cloud. The level of consistency that Azure and Azure Stack provides are pretty cool. The new Azure Preview portal is coming to the Azure Stack. A lot of the PaaS offerings are coming to Azure Stack. And then also the Azure Marketplace, which is really a huge opportunity for third-party ISV solutions to package their solution once for Azure Marketplace and give customers and IT pros the ability to easily deploy those solutions in a templatized manner, whether it's being deployed to the public Azure cloud, private cloud, or hosted clouds that are leveraging the Azure Stack. So lots of cool stuff coming up in the next few episodes as we move forward over the coming months in building hybrid clouds and managing hybrid clouds. Yeah. And I guess the other big thing beyond Azure Stack that I saw was Azure Resource Manager, for being able to take a declarative approach, much like we would inside of a VM's configuration with PowerShell DSC, to take a declarative approach to templatizing an entire multi-VM or multi-resource application environment that could incorporate many ISVMs, virtual networks, subnet, storage accounts, PaaS elements, all in a declarative resource model. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're making it so we can do more with less time. That's kind of been a big trend that I've seen over the last couple of years, just with IT in general. But to be able to do that with Azure is really a time saver. And, you know, for those ISV partners, I think it's going to make a lot easier for them, because it makes it easier for the on-premise IT guys to deploy their product.
Yep, definitely, definitely. And how about from a security and identity standpoint? Anything that you saw relating to identity that impressed you? I know security is always top of mind for IT pros, right?
Right, right. Well, I think it comes back to first, when it comes to security, the first thing you need to do is figure out what you have, right?
Yeah.
That's always the step one. And they've had the, I keep getting the name screwed up, but the does application detection for your cloud services.
Yeah, Cloud App Discovery.
Yes.
Yeah. For Azure Active Directory, right? Yep.
See, they announced so much last week that all the names are kind of blending together right now still. So,
it was
yeah. I thought that looked like a great tool as well, because, like I said, step one is knowing what you have. And, you know, some of the demos I saw, it kind of detected some things that people didn't really think were there, which I thought was really interesting. So,
yep, definitely. And then once you've identified what you have, and securing that's important as well. And I guess that brings us kind of to our specific topic for today's episode, which has really been a continuation of what we've been talking about over the last couple episodes in regards to security and at-rest data encryption of applications that are running in the hybrid cloud, right?
Yep.
So let's see, a couple episodes ago, we had talked about leveraging BitLocker encryption, whether it's in your on-premises environment or in Azure, for at-rest encryption of whole data volumes running on your VMs. I think the last time we were together, we talked about SQL TDE, transparent data encryption, for encrypting databases, logs, backups, any of the files that SQL Server touches for storing databases or transactions.
Yep.
And I think the big question that we had in both of those episodes was, hey, at-rest encryption is really cool, but how do we manage and securely store the encryption keys themselves, right?
Right.
Because that's kind of the keys to the kingdom. If you have the encryption keys, then you can decrypt the data.
Exactly, right? Don't want those just out there for anyone to grab, that's for sure.
Yep, definitely. And in the Azure space, for the last few months, we've had a preview service. We talked a little bit about it at Ignite and Build as well, that actually addresses this particular topic. It's called a service called Azure Key Vault, and it allows us to provide a cloud-based, secure HSM, hardware kind of cloud-based hardware storage management vehicle for storing encryption keys and other secrets as well. I mean, Azure Key Vault's pretty extensible. We can use it for storing the encryption keys that we use for SQL transparent data encryption. At Ignite, we announced forthcoming support for storing BitLocker encryption keys. We've got support with Azure Key Vault for also storing other types of secret information that we as IT pros oftentimes run against when we're provisioning and managing environments, things like certificates or administrative passwords or passphrases or whatnot. All of those can be put into Key Vault as well.
I think that's really helpful, especially from like a password perspective. I know so many organizations struggle with, how do I store my passwords? How do I store that sensitive information? And, you know, having a service that puts it all in one place but really protects it with the level of protection that that information deserves, I think that's going to be a really popular offering that's coming out of Azure.
Yep, definitely. Well, Andy, what do you say? Does it make sense to pop on over into the lab and take a walk together through Azure Key Vault and look at how we might use it for perhaps securing database encryption, master encryption keys for transparent data encryption with SQL?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, great. Well, I'll meet you over in the lab.
Good.
So, hey, Andy, here we are in our lab. And I'm sure this is a screen that you probably have seen quite a bit at Ignite last week, right? The new Azure Preview Portal.
Just a few times, you know.
Yeah.
100, 200, just a few.
Yeah. Well, and the cool thing is the same portal experience, as we mentioned a little earlier, is coming with Azure Stack as well for your on-prem environment. But it's really cool because it's a completely customized portal interface for being able to show the tiles right on the start page that are most important. So I've got some tiles for my billing, for the Azure Marketplace, for third-party solutions, for recently deployed solutions like my SQL solution that I've got up and running as a VM. And you'll definitely see over the coming weeks, more and more being incorporated into the Azure Preview Portal. Right now, as we step through it, when we go into the various aspects of the preview portal, you'll see the services listed there. Some are our own, some are third-party services. And when we think about some of the new features around Azure AD, they're under identity. And when we go down over here under management, we've got Key Vault there, right? Which makes us think, hey, Key Vault's in the new preview portal. But if it's not there yet, you'll get this coming soon message, right? So Key Vault is definitely coming soon to the preview portal, but for now, it's something that we can provision using Azure PowerShell, and then we can connect it. If we want to use it in a SQL environment like we did in our last episode, if we wanted to use Key Vault for storing our master encryption keys for SQL transparent data encryption, mm-hmm. we can go into SQL and install a connector tool and get that configured up as well. So preview portal's coming soon to make it even easier, but for now, to walk through the configuration of Key Vault together, I'm going to switch over to my favorite management tool, the Azure PowerShell ISE. And in order to use Key Vault, so Key Vault's recently been added into the Azure PowerShell ISE, so you may need to update. If you're on an older version of the Azure PowerShell module, you may need to update the version that you're running. So if I run git module Azure star, for instance, we'll see that I'm on version 0.9.1. So I'm going to switch over to one of my favorite tools, the Azure PowerShell ISE tool. And in order to configure Azure Key Vault, we do need to be running on a relatively recent version of the Azure PowerShell module. You'll notice that I've done a git module Azure star here, and I'm currently running on version 0.91 of the Azure PowerShell module. So if you're running on an older version of the module, go out to the Azure PowerShell page, definitely update to the latest version because the Key Vault commandlets were just recently added into Azure PowerShell. And then once you've got that latest version installed and running, like anything with Azure, we'd want to go through the process of authenticating to our Azure subscription. So I'm going to run add Azure account, and it'll pop up my authentication window, and I'll go ahead and log into my subscription. And it's going to take me to the sign-in page where I can type in my password. Go ahead and sign in.
No pressure on whether it took your password or not.
Oh, there we go. Now, just to confirm that it actually has authenticated properly, I'm just going to run a git Azure subscription and return back my list of subscription names just to make sure that it can see that list. And there we go. So I've got my lab, my internal, a bunch of different Azure subscriptions. So I'm going to use my internal subscription, the second one in the list. So I'm going to go ahead and select that as my current subscription using the select Azure subscription PowerShell commandlet. And that way it'll assume now that going forward, anything I do from here on out is going to be provisioned within that particular subscription. Now in the later versions of the Azure PowerShell module, we've also added support for Azure Resource Manager over the last few iterations. And the Key Vault commands are in the Azure Resource Manager module inside Azure PowerShell. So what I'll need to do is I'll need to tell it to switch modes over to Azure Resource Manager so I can use those commandlets. So I'm switching from the original Azure Service Management modules over to Azure Resource Manager. And in order to get started with creating some resources, so we want to set up Key Vault first. Key Vault is like anything else in Azure. It's another Azure service or resource. We first need to make sure that we have a resource group that we're going to provision Key Vault inside. So I'm going to run new Azure resource group, give it a name. So I'll call it the demo resource group, and then an Azure data center region for my location. So I'm going to provision this in the East US. And I've actually already run that, so instead of running it again, I'm just going to run get Azure resource group so that we can return back the properties on that resource. So we'll see it's got my resource group name there, location, East US, succeeded, and I've got some resources that previously were set up inside this pre-existing resource group. Now that I've got my resource group set up, I would add my Key Vault. So my Azure Key Vault is going to be my protected area, my protected vault for storing encryption keys and secrets in that cloud HSM manner that has limited access and only is accessed via my Key Vault interface. So I would create that new Key Vault by using new Azure Key Vault as my PowerShell commandlet, specifying a vault name, my demo vault, putting it into the resource group that I wish to have this Key Vault provisioned within, And then a couple other parameters. I need to specify for this resource where I want that to be provisioned, in which Azure Data Center region. So I'm going to provision it in East US. That's where all of my other resources that are going to be accessing the Key Vault are located. So they'll have speedy access into the Key Vault. And I also need to tell Azure PowerShell what SKU level, so what level or tier of Azure Key Vault service I wish to provision. So there's a standard SKU and there's a premium SKU for Azure Key Vault. And out on the pricing page that's linked down below on the page that you're watching this episode on, you'll see the differences between standard and premium. Standard basically gives you the ability to store keys in a software-protected manner inside the Key Vault, whereas premium also gives you the option for storing keys in a hardware-protected manner using an HSM behind the scenes. So I'm going to use the premium SKU. After I run that new Azure Key Vault command, I can run git Azure Key Vault to actually show the properties of my provisioned Key Vault. And so here we go. I've got my new Key Vault set up. Oops, scrolled up a little too far. There we go. I've got my new Key Vault set up, my demo vault. It's in the East US. And then I've got a resource and vault URI. So these are the URIs that Key Vault is accessed through, either through the REST API or through the various connector tools or through the Azure PowerShell interface. You'll see it confirmed it's the premium SKU. And I initially, when I set it up, I've got some permissions that are assigned to me, the creator of the Key Vault by default. I basically get all of the permissions for being able to create new encryption keys, list them, get them, delete them, update them, backup and restore them, as well as permissions to all secrets. But using Azure Active Directory, I can specify additional Azure Active Directory users or applications that also have permission to access my Key Vault, so that if other administrators needed to store or retrieve encryption keys or secrets, or if other applications needed to do that, I can grant that access as well. So what do you think so far, Andy? We've got our Key Vault set up. It was pretty easy, right? Basically a couple PowerShell commandlets, and we're up and running with a new place to store our encryption keys and secrets. What do you think so far?
Yeah, it's really, really easy. I don't see any gotchas with the setup. It's fairly simple. You know, it's kind of funny you mentioned the Azure Active Directory tie-ins. I mean, it makes sense. It brings me back to something I heard at Ignite last week too, and that on-premise AD is now referred to as legacy AD. So it behooves administrators to start learning Azure Active Directory if you haven't already, because I mean, just as the designation sounds, legacy AD, so it's kind of an important shift in the industry there, right?
Yep, definitely. So we've got the first piece of our environment set up and ready to go. We've got our Key Vault created, but ultimately we wanted to integrate SQL transparent data encryption, kind of the scenario we set up in our last episode together, into this Key Vault so that SQL Server can use the Key Vault for storing its master encryption key in a secure manner rather than storing it in the SQL Server itself. So in order for SQL Server to talk to Key Vault, we actually have to set it up as an application, or in the kind of the legacy AD world, to your point, what we'd call a service principal name or an SPN, right? Yep. So in Azure AD, we need to set up actually a couple service principal names as Azure AD applications. One for the administrator account that's initially configuring, that will be configuring TDE, and then one for the SQL Server Database Engine service itself. And so what I'm going to do, first I'm going to just walk through the steps involved in setting up those service principal names or applications in Azure AD, and then we'll come back into PowerShell and we'll walk through a couple steps for giving them the required level of access for being able to create new encryption keys and leverage those encryption keys. So let's go over to Azure AD. I'm going to switch back over to our Azure portal. And Azure AD is not yet in the preview portal. So I'm going to click this tile here to go back to the current production Azure portal. And it'll take a moment for that to pop up for us. There it goes. And within this current portal then, we're going to drill down into the Active Directory page and manage our Active Directory tenant and add in two different application definitions, one for our SQL Server Administrator and one for our SQL Server Database Engine service. So just take a second for it to pop up here. And then once it does, we'll be able to proceed with next steps.
You know why it's doing that, Keith? You know, I just find one thing interesting is the speed in which they're adding new features to the preview portal. Seems to be pretty fast. I mean, it's like every other week I get down there and it's like, oh, hey, they've added this now. So it's they're getting pretty speedy at that, it seems.
Yep, and the engineering team is taking a great approach to clue users, customers into that fact that the services are getting moved over to the preview portal. Oftentimes you'll be in the current portal managing your VMs or storage accounts or something like that, and you'll see a little pop-up notification, a toast notification pop up in the portal that says, hey, did you know you can use the new preview portal for this now? Click here and go over to the new preview portal, right?
Yeah, it is. They're doing a great job of that, absolutely.
Yep. So I'm going to, in my current portal, I'm going to switch over to Active Directory. And I've got a couple directories here that I use. I'm going to go into my first Active Directory environment. And we want to set up service principal names. And so the way we do that with Azure AD is we set them up as applications. And it's kind of interesting. They get set up as applications, but we really use them more as a service principal name. So on this applications page, in order to set up applications, I'm going to click on the Add button. And then on the form that asks me what I want to do, I'm going to specify that I'm going to add an application that my organization's developing. And I'm going to set up an initial application for my admin. And I'm going to leave it as web application or web API as my type choice. And then I need to specify just a unique URL in both of these fields as an identifier. It's actually not used as a URI or URL. It's just used in this case as a unique identifier for this application. So it can literally be anything as long as it's unique. So it could be something like sqldbadmin. And then I'll just put in my Active Directory domain name. And then I can pop in the same thing for the app ID. And I can just hit the check mark button when I'm done. Now I've actually set up an application already for sqldbadmin, so I won't click check mark here. I'd go through the process then of adding an application in for my admin account, and I'd go through the same exact process to add in a second application for my SQL database service. Once I've done that, then over in my applications list, once it refreshes, I'll see my list of applications. I'll just give it a moment here for it to refresh. And so now we have our list of Azure AD integrated applications. And you'll see the SQL admin and service applications that I previously added into my directory. To make these into service principal names that I can use, though, we'll need to have the equivalent of a username and password that we can use for logging into Azure AD as these applications that SQL Server will be using behind the scenes when we set up TDE. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drill into the properties of each of these applications, and over under the Configure tab, as I scroll down here, you'll see that each of them have a unique client ID. That client ID is sort of the username of this application when we use it as a service principal name. And then down a little lower, you'll see this area called keys. And what we would do is we would associate a key with the application. When I save it, it'll give me a key value. It'll look like a long, crazy text value that's basically the equivalent of a password. So we do that for each of our applications. Take the client ID and the key value and copy it over to our clipboard area temporarily, because we'll need those values for each of those applications when we're configuring TDE with Key Vault inside SQL Server. So that's really it from an Azure AD standpoint. We have a couple applications that we set up. We get a client ID, and we get the key value so that we can authenticate with the client ID as the username, sort of, and the key value as sort of the equivalent of a password for these service principal names. Now that we've got these two applications set up, now we need to give them the appropriate level of access into our Key Vault. So I'm going to switch back over to Azure PowerShell. And we'll look at the last couple commands for doing that. So there's there's another commandlet in Azure PowerShell for Key Vault that's named Set Azure Key Vault Access Policy. And what this allows us to do is to specify our vault and to specify the client ID for each of those applications that we've set up in Azure AD as the service principal name, and then determine which permissions they're going to have to encryption keys. So my first client ID is for my admin application, and that's going to get the permissions to create new encryption keys as well as get, list, wrap, and unwrap encryption keys. My service for the database engine, that application is the second client ID, and that's getting the ability just to use those encryption keys. So get, list, wrap, and unwrap the keys. So I set up those basic permissions, and when I'm all done, when I finally run Git Azure Key Vault at the very end of it, the output will show each of those service principal names with the appropriate level of permissions to keys. So here's my SQL TDE admin with create, get, list, wrap, unwrap, so on and so forth. And then here's my service that just has get, list, wrap, and unwrap key permissions. So now I'm set. I've got my Key Vault set up. I've got my service principal name set up that my SQL server is going to use to authenticate with in a moment. And those service principal names have the appropriate level of access into Azure Key Vault. What do you think so far, Andy? Is everything making sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The thing I like about this, about having the kind of the auto-generated name and key, is it, you know, from a string value perspective, it kind of forces the administrator to adhere to security best practices, and that, you know, not all your passwords are password, right?
Yep.
So I really like that part of it.
Yep. And as you may have noticed, when we were setting up the keys in our portal interface for each of the applications, they have an expiration period associated with them. So we can have them automatically expire after a period of time, and we can set up multiple keys, right, so that we can have easy key rotation. We can set up multiple keys in advance, so we can set up our first encryption key, and, you know, maybe 9 months later, we can set up a second encryption key with another one-year expiration and have a grace period where we can go back into our applications that are leveraging those service principal names and switch over to the new keys to do key rotation without having to worry about interrupting access to our applications.
That's nice. That way it kind of gives businesses the ability to adhere to all their own regulatory compliance, right? So that's a really nice option.
Yep, definitely. Now, let's switch over to SQL Server then. We've got kind of the Key Vault and Azure pieces set up, and I've already got a SQL Server VM that's been built running on Azure. Actually, we could build that SQL Server VM even in our on-premises environment or a hosted environment, and it could still use Key Vault because Key Vault is accessible through a standard SSL TLS connection for interacting with Key Vault. So it's not required that it be on Azure. But in my scenario, we're running the SQL Server in an Azure VM. And I'm just going to switch over into a remote desktop connection that I've had open and step through the configuration of SQL Server for TDE support. So you'll see that I've got a number of different T-SQL commands in my SQL query window. But before we go through these commands, there is a component that needs to be installed on the SQL Server. I've already installed it. It's called the SQL Server Connector for Azure Key Vault. And what that gives us is a DLL that we can register with SQL Server to tell the database engine how to communicate with Key Vault. And it also installs a service that runs in the background. And I'm just going to sort my services by name here, so we can scroll down and see that. Called the SQL Server Connector for Azure Key Vault. Let's see, where did it go? There it is. The Azure Key Vault SQL Connector service. So you'll see it in a running status. So both of those components get installed with just an easy download. And we'll provide the link to that download down at the bottom of this page so that you have an easy way of downloading it from our download center. Run it on your SQL Server. It's literally a 30-second install, so really quick. Once I've installed that connector component, then I've got some work to do inside SQL Server. So I'll launch my SQL Management Studio console. I'll go into a new query window, connect to my SQL Server, and I'm going to initially start off in my master database because I've got some base configuration that I need to set up to turn on the extensible key management support that I can use to tie SQL Server into Azure Key Vault. So I'm going to use my master database first. I'm going to tell it to show my advanced options. So I'll just highlight and run that. And then I'm going to enable the extensible key management provider. So that's done through an spconfigure stored procedure, EKM provider enabled one. So I'll go ahead and run that, and that'll turn on the extensible key management support. Once I've done that, then I've got a couple extra steps to do. So remember I said that connector installs its own DLL? So here's the path to that DLL that gets installed. It's under C Program File SQL Server Connector for Microsoft Azure Key Vault, and it's this Microsoft Azure Key Vault Service EKM DLL. So we need to register that DLL with SQL Server so that it sees it as a cryptographic provider that can have encryption keys registered within it. So we do that just by running a tsql command, create cryptographic provider, give it a name, and then tell it which DLL to use as its cryptographic provider. So we just highlight that, run it, and it registers that. Once I've got that registered, then I've got a little bit of work to do through that cryptographic provider to set up my credentials for talking to that cryptographic provider. And you'll remember that we created a couple service principal names in Azure AD, one for admin and one for our database engine service. So the first thing I'm going to do is create a credential that provides a credential for my admin account to talk to Azure Key Vault. So it's going to specify the name of my vault. This is the name that we originally set up for our vault in Azure PowerShell when we created our Azure Key Vault. And then the secret is actually a concatenation of two pieces of information kind of strung together here. We've got, remember there was the two pieces of identity that we had for our service principal name, the client ID and the key value. What we do is we take the client ID, remove all the hyphens out of it, so it just becomes a string value, and then the key value, and we concatenate them together in one contiguous string, and that becomes the secret that gets parsed out when we're authenticating to our key vault. So that's what we have in our secret field here. So we'd run that to create the credential, and then we'd add that credential to our SQL admin account by doing an alter login on our SQL admin account that we're using to log in with, and then add that credential in. So that way, anytime we're logging in to SQL through the SQL Management Studio or any other SQL Server connection as our admin account, and we try to talk to the Key Vault, it'll know to use the credential that we've set up that ties to that particular cryptographic provider. So that gives us the ability to kind of chain these logins together so that we don't have to remember a separate password for manually for logging into Key Vault. Once we've done that, we're ready to set up our master key. So our master key, you might recall from our last episode, the master key in SQL Server is used to generate a set of database encryption keys for each database that we're protecting with transparent data encryption. So normally the master key is stored in the master database of our SQL instance, but we're going to create that master key and tell it to use our Azure Key Vault cryptographic provider. And we're going to call it my master key inside the Key Vault. So we create that master key and store it outside of SQL Server by using a create asymmetric key, tsql command, specify master key as our SQL object name, but tell it to store the key values itself inside Key Vault. Once we've done that, we've got our master key created through our admin account that we've set up, and now we can kind of switch gears to looking at what needs to be set up to get ready for encrypting our first database. So in order to encrypt a database, the database engine itself needs to know how to authenticate to Azure Key Vault to read the encryption key information that is going to be used to encrypt and decrypt that database. So we need to now set up that database service principal name inside our SQL instance. So we'll create a credential for our SQL service account, the second account. I'm going to call it Azure EKM TDE credential. We're going to create it. We're going to align it for authenticating to our same Key Vault, our same Azure Key Vault. And again, the secret here is the client ID and Azure key value for the service principal name or application for our database engine service that we previously set up. So the second app that we set up in Azure AD. So we'll go ahead and create that credential. And now I'm going to create a login, tie it to that master key so that the SQL database engine will know anytime I'm trying to read a database or write to a database that's encrypted with a database encryption key that was generated from this master key, use this login and the credential we assign to it for pulling the right values out of Key Vault and being able to do the encryption and decryption. So we'll create that login, and just like before, we're going to add our credential into that login. So we're going to do an alter login after we create it and add our credential in for the Azure Key Vault credential that we previously set up using that database engine service principal name. Once we've done that, now we're ready to switch over to our database that we wish to encrypt. So I've got a database sitting here that I previously created called TDE DemoDB. I'm going to switch over to that database just by doing a use on that database. So you'll see it's now got TDE DemoDB as my current database. And over in my demo database, I need to, even though I've already set up my master key, I need to tell my demo database that I'm encrypting about it. So I need to create a reference to the master key that we previously set up. So I just do a create asymmetric master key, point it to the same information, and tell it to open the existing key. Once I've done that, then I can create my database encryption key using the master key. And these are the same steps that I would typically use even if I wasn't using Key Vault, right? So from here on out, it's basically the same as just setting up TDE in a plain vanilla SQL Server world to create my database encryption key and then alter my database and turn encryption on. And once I've done that, we can confirm that my database is encrypted just by going into the properties of my database, looking at the options, and we'll see underneath my options as I scroll down. Under my database state, that encryption enabled is true. So now my database is encrypted and my encryption keys are securely stored out in Azure Key Vault so that I don't have to worry about someone gaining access to my SQL Server instance, finding those master encryption keys and being able to use them to decrypt my database encryption key and ultimately my database. So that's it. I mean, a lot of steps, but the nice thing is it can all be scripted out into some reusable patterns that you use for setting up your SQL Server, setting up your Key Vault, setting up your SQL Servers, and then encrypting each of the databases. And we'll be sure to provide links to these scripts out at the bottom of the page that you're watching today's episode on as well. Andy, what do you think? Did that make sense as we were stepping through things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, like you said, once you got to a certain point, it was just the same as setting it up, you know, setting up TDE as you would normally. What I like about it is now, not only is our database encrypted, the keys are locked up too, right?
Yep, so, exactly.
You know, it's, I don't want to say it's easy, but it happens every once in a while that a SQL box gets breached somehow. And now you don't have to worry about the databases being decrypted because I got a hold of the keys somehow, right? So
yep.
That's a win-win.
Yep, exactly. Well, what do you say? Head back to the office?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, I'll see you there. Well, Andy, in today's episode, we walked through quite a bit, I think. We kind of shored up our remaining components of at-rest encryption in the hybrid cloud by looking at key management, secure key management, leveraging Azure Key Vault. And we even walked through a scenario, a real-world scenario, that leverages Key Vault to store master encryption keys for a really common use case, SQL Server transparent data encryption, so that regardless of where that SQL Server instance is running, whether it's running on-prem, in the Azure cloud, in a hosted space, you can leverage Azure Key Vault as your secure place to separately store your encryption keys. Well, Andy, thanks so much for joining us today and sharing all of the insights and all of your news from Ignite. It's been great seeing you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. I always enjoy being here.
Great. And everyone that's listening today, be sure to check out the resources that are listed down at the bottom of our page. We've got links to Andy's blog and my blog, as well as some very specific resources that can help you step through much of what you saw here today in setting up Azure Key Vault, setting up your service principal names in Azure Active Directory, and then enabling TDE support to leverage Azure Key Vault as that last mile for not only providing at-rest encryption, but secure key management as well. Keep in mind that keep your eyes open for upcoming episodes of our Building Your Hybrid Cloud series, because as Andy had mentioned, we've got lots of new ground to cover with all the exciting announcements from our Build and Ignite conferences. And so we'll be rolling through those in the coming weeks and months. So be sure to stay tuned, and we look forward to seeing you at our next episode of Building Your Hybrid Cloud here on TechNet Radio. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.